herself off and hovered above me, her wings beating lightly. I could tell by the expression on her face, frightened, then clouded with doubt, then clearing in sudden recognition, that she knew what was happening. She folded her arms. "We've met before," she said. "Haven't we?" The officer sat across from me, behind a bulky desk made of cheap-looking wood, or more likely imitation wood, its grainy pattern suspiciously intricate, its surface giving off a dull matte half-sheen. Behind him, two dusty Venetian-blinded windows admitted no light at all. Twin phalanxes of green metal file cabinets bracketed the walls on either side of the desk. The walls themselves were made of a porous, cream-colored cinder block, like petrified tofu. A brittle, curly-edged Civil War battle sites calendar was turned to May, Appomattox. A yellowish-brown water stain shaped like a cockroach spread across the flaking plaster ceiling.
"So, Thomas Barrett," said the officer, "can you describe in detail what just happened?"
"I don't know," I said. "Can I ask a question first?" He made a go-ahead gesture. "Why do I feel like I'm in my elementary school principal's office?"
"I beg your pardon?"
"This room looks exactly like Mr. Antonucci's office, my elementary school principal. Not that I've thought about it much since my last visit there, but it's uncanny. The color of the walls, the water stain, even the Civil War calendar. He had one of those." I took in a breath. "Are you Mr. Antonucci?"
He shook his head tightly. "What is happening is that you are mentally enacting your conception of authority."
"Doing what? You mean I'm imagining this?"
"Your mental conceptions are shaping your visual perceptions, but I exist just as strongly as you do."
He was not a large man. He wore a cheap suit, dandruff flaked and tight at the shoulders. But none of this detracted from his dignity. His high, bald brow was stately and imposing. He did look a bit like Mr. Antonucci, though not exactly. It was a loose translation. They could have been brothers. But the eyes were identical. Dark brown, penetrating, hooded like an eagle's.
"So," I said, "you're larger than life, you've got impressive eyes and shoulders, but your furniture's so shitty."
"Excuse me?"
"I'm just observing. I mean, if this is my conception of authority, that's fascinating. It's like part of me respects you and part of me views you with contempt or despair."
"That's possible,"
he nodded. "But let's not get distracted by speculation."
"Sorry? What was your question again?"
"What do you remember," he asked, "of what just happened, of what brought you here?"
Something about the combination of words he'd used, the word remember and the word here, perhaps, set off a full-body tremor, or more like a full-body flinch. I found myself contracting, like one of those roly-poly insects that tightens into a ball when you graze its exoskeleton with your finger, folded up, with my head between my knees, breathing quickly and shallowly, protecting myself against what felt like an onrush of unwelcome light.
"Yes," said the officer, "it's as I assumed."
"It's how?" I asked, managing, slowly, to unwind myself, to sit up straight again, to deepen my breathing.
"You're insufficiently dead," he said.
"I'm what?"
"Insufficiently dead. You lack rupture with your life. You have no exit narrative."
"Exit narrative?"
"Look," he said, standing up and pushing his chair under the desk. It made a rusty creaking noise as it scraped against the linoleum floor. "This is difficult to explain, but what you should know is that we take full responsibility. They're extremely rare, but these institutional errors do happen from time to time. I'm referring to April 8th, 1996, when you were 9 years old, to what happened with 19. It's a scenario we refer to as early exposure."
"Wait, her name is a number?"
"She will receive the appropriate discipline, of course. You know, she got unlucky. If you'd been assigned a different agent this time, you'd never have been able to identify her. That's what she was counting on. But it happened this way, so she confessed to the mistake, which is why you're here."
"So then, what now?"
"Well," he sighed, "I believe that in the end, you'll be glad for this opportunity. Most people don't get the chance to experience the state you're about to experience. In any event, it's highly educational."
"Wait a minute. Where's Therese?"
"Your friend?"